ladies and gentlemen, to the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast, where tonight we're going to be talking about a show that involves one of my favorite pizza toppings, and that's mushrooms. Yes, mushrooms. I love a good mushroom on a pizza. But that's not all, because tonight, as you all know, my name is Nick, and we have a returning guest to the podcast today, and that is my good friend Pinky. Pinky, say hello to the people.
Hey, everybody.
So this was like a kind of like a spur of the moment sort of podcast episode that I brought up to you, Pinky. So ladies and gentlemen, the show that we're going to be talking about today is a little anime called Sabuke Bisco. And we'll get into our formalities and everything like that. But the reason why this is kind of like, I kind of brought it up to you like last minute, is because during my winter preview episode, when we were live on Twitch, twitch.tv/SwordSensei1, by the way, cheap plug. I remember seeing you in chat, or like, it was either after, it was after the podcast went off the air, or something along those lines, that you were saying like something like, you were, and I don't want to give the spoilers away for what we're going to be talking about, but you were saying, you know, some interesting things about mushrooms, right?
So, oh, yeah, totally.
So, you know, as the weeks went on, you know, we got to talking about, you know, the god in Marin. You know, we did a Marin episode for My Dress Up Darling. We did a couple of episodes featuring Ranking of Kings, Demon Slayer review, etc. But it got to the point, like, recently for me, I was like, you know what, like, we are not talking about Sabuke Bisco in the anime community as much as we should, in my opinion. We are not talking enough about Sabuke Bisco. And I was watching a streamer, you know, doing a stream, of course, and he was watching a video about mushrooms. And I was like, "Who? What a coincidence. I'm watching an anime that mushrooms are heavily influenced on." And I learned a lot about mushrooms, but like everything that was going on in this video that I was watching, like, it was basically everything that's happening in this anime that I was watching. So I was like, I have to get my residential mushroom expert, Pinky, on the line and be like, yo, I need your expertise on this episode of the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast to determine how accurate, or determine like how important, you know, Bisco, like the mushrooms in Sabuke Bisco are. Before we dive like too deep into it, like, how many episodes have you seen thus far?
I just finished the, which one is it? The one where they are, oh, the fourth one. So they just got to the City of Children, but I didn't get to that one yet.
Okay, so you pretty much like have a clear understanding of, like, you're like, you can use your knowledge of mushrooms to determine whether or not mushrooms are being used in the right or wrong way in this anime, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, outside of being, you know, a delectable pizza topping.
Oh, yeah. A plus, like, SS tier pizza topping. 100%.
Okay, marvelous. Because that is, like, really, I wanted to keep on my regular stuff, which we will keep on my regular stuff as well. We'll talk about the show. I'll talk about, like, you know, some of the characters, stuff like that, etc. But, I really wanted to get into and talk about like the scientific aspect as to why mushrooms are actually a pretty fucking cool fungi. But I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the mushroom. Yeah. Anyway. So. I know. That's my Sunday job. So. Sabuke Bisco. Right? A little bit about Sabuke Bisco, the synopsis. A plague-like wind blows across the arid, sandy expanse of a post-apocalyptic Japan. As it sweeps over the living and non-living alike, rust is all that remains in its wake. The cause of the catastrophic state of the world is believed to be mushroom spores. Bisco Akaboshi, known as the man-eating mushroom, is a wanted criminal archer whose arrows instantly grow mushrooms wherever they land. However, He is in truth a mushroom protector, a person who spreads fungi in order to enrich the land and return it to its previous state. Alongside the crab Akutagawa and young Dr. Milo Nekoyanagi, Bisco ventures through the wastelands of Japan searching for the legendary Sabakui, a panacean mushroom said to devour all forms of rust. Now, the synopsis really doesn't, I feel like the synopsis, it can lead you either way, right? Like, do we have an anti-hero here? Do we have a villain here? Or do we have a hero here? That's how I see it. But you pretty much find out right away. Four episodes in, I feel like you find out right away who these main cast of characters are. I don't want to give anything away fully, but you pretty much find out right away, like, hey, these characters are 1, 2, 3, or 4. Would you say that?
Yeah, I would say that.
Do you think the synopsis does give it away as to where they land?
I wouldn't say so. I would say, like, where they land is definitely more in line with, like, a D&D chart.
You see, for me, like, I when I just read it, I was like, man, after reading that, I feel like they spoiled it, but I feel like you won't realize that they spoiled it until you get into the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you have other characters who are to believe to be antagonists as well, but are they antagonists? Are they friends? Are they, you know, rivals? Et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, you bring up a good point in regards to the D&D, you know, neutral good, chaotic evil. Sort of aspect of the thing, and I do see a lot of that in, I would say, our five main characters. I mean, you have two main characters and, you know, three or four supporting characters that pull the show along. That I'll get to in a second, but you would say that each fall into their own D&D category in terms of character and class, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I forget her name, the little pink haired jellyfish girl. Far as I can tell, she is just true neutral.
Yeah, Ochagama. Tiro, yeah. Ochagama. Who I'll get to in a second. But we do have our two main cast of characters in Bisco Akaboshi, who is the archer of the show, who, as mentioned in the synopsis, does use his bow and arrow, obviously, to spread mushrooms and basically wreak havoc throughout all of Japan. Again, you pretty much find out right away. And in regards to our mushroom, in regards to, you know, our mushroom talk, it's kind of going to be a spoiler for those later, because the mushroom talk is going to, you know, basically be a spoiler for, you know, whether or not Bisco is a protagonist or an antagonist. He's the protagonist of the story, but is he a, like, an anti-villain? Is he a villain or is he a hero? So I'll give a heads up when we talk about that, when we get into that, which will probably be after we talk about the characters. And then I'll get to you, and I want to bring up a question to you, Pinky, in a second. But after we talk about Milo Nekoyanagi, Milo is an interesting character because he's kind of, I'm all the way caught up, and I know, like, you're six episodes behind me, but Milo is, what's the best way I can put this? Milo is not a bitch. you see, like, a character like his, like, a little, like the shy sort of, like, whiny sort of character, like, character trope. Mm-hmm. And he's just not a bitch, like, because of his knowledge as being a doctor, like, he steps up at times. He's still a bitch sometimes, but, like, he steps up. So, I like Milo a lot. But the funny thing about Milo is he's got the Neko name, right? But, every character in this show constantly refers to him as Dr. Panda. So, yeah. I found that interesting. But, like, compared to the two, like, who do you Like, who do you fancy more between the two?
I gotta say I like Milo better. He's a little more level-headed. He thinks about things a little bit more versus Bisco is just like, let's run headlong into what we're doing because I've got a goal, and the points in between me and that goal are not as important as getting to the end.
Yeah, he's your typical hothead.
Exactly.
See, I gotta defer and I gotta go with Bisco. I like him a little bit more than Milo, but this is a rare opportunity for me that I do actually like both the main characters. There's dislikes. There's little I dislike about both of them, in all honesty. And it would be like nitpicky shit that's not even worth bringing up, you know? For me, Milo, he's a little bitch at times. But I'm like, you know what? Like, that's his character, but like he makes up for being like a badass at times. And yeah, Bisco is loud, but like he makes up for it for being a badass at times. So like, I have ne'er a problem with either of them, which is shocking to me.
Oh yeah, and I love the way they foil off each other. Like they're the whole classic red Oni, blue Oni character types, but like quite literally with their color schemes. But
that is a fantastic point. I just want to bring that up.
But I also just really like the way they play off of each other. It's like they definitely are butting heads, and I can definitely see them having some, you know, growing pains together later in the series, but ultimately I think they will make each other better characters in the long run. And I think that's what was the old man's name? Jobby. He was kind of alluding to that, Bisco, you need somebody to help soften you and, you know, clean up your edges a little bit.
Yeah, and you bring up Jobby and I want to talk about Jobby. Old man Jobby, he's Bisco's traveling partner for a little bit. I don't know how much you know about Jobby. What do you know about Jobby?
I know up to where they left him in the city.
So, what do you know of him? Like, of his person?
Oh, of his person? That he definitely doesn't let on as much as he knows or as much as, you know, what's really going on. He seems, like, manipulative, and I'm not sure how much you're supposed to actually trust him. You know what I mean? He's that kind of character type, in my opinion.
Yeah, he does have that for a while. I'm not going to go too much into Jobby, but he's pretty substantial. He's a pretty substantial character to the story. You had brought up the pink-haired girl in I guess they call her Octopus for a little bit, right?
Jellyfish.
Karate. Jellyfish girl, yeah, and that's mainly because her hair does look like a jellyfish. But then they go I don't think you got to that part. So we'll call her Jellyfish Girl for right now. You do find out her real name eventually. And I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to spoil anything for you. But okay. She's sort of relevant to the story. But kind of irrelevant. She's not the most important female character in the show so far. The most important female character in the anime. And honestly, I mean, how could she not be a top tier waifu of this season? Is Pawu Nekoyanagi, which is Milo's older sister. Her design is badass.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a badass bitch.
So one thing I noticed while watching, speaking of her being a badass bitch, I love that they completely flipped the gender roles as far as like brother and sister generally are. Like she's the fighter, she's the badass, she's the one going out, you know, kicking ass and taking names. And Milo's staying at home, you know, making sure everybody's getting fed, doing the healing and the nurturing and the care. And she's like, you know, make sure you're taking your medication. And
yeah, he's the mommy and she's the daddy.
Yes, and I just thought that was just super funny.
Something about that rush just makes her hotter, in my opinion. It's honestly not the tits popping out. It's really not. It's
Are you sure?
Listen.
I mean, because those are some grade A badonkadongas.
Listen, you find out what size they are eventually, and, you know, I don't know, something about that rust, it's just like, how far does it, I'm not going to say it, how far does it spread? Is it like butter? I'd say, I'm done, okay. But like, her development is great throughout the show. You'll only come to, I think you'll come to love her more. Mm-hmm. I understand why she's not listed as a main character on my anime list. Because the story really is about Bisco and Milo, but Paolo is pretty important to the story as well. Especially since she has a vendetta, considering she is, I guess, a police officer working for Mayor Kurokawa, who is another one of our characters, who's just basically the mayor, but he's kind of like a mafia boss of the show as well. You realize like right away, like he's the mafia boss of the show. But she's like all about like, you know, making everything right in the world and, you know, a hero of justice. So, yeah, and Pawu also has like Pawu, I feel like is a panda type name, like Paul. Like I guess cats have paws too, but like, I don't know. Like I get like the panda vibe from her as well.
I just love that she's this hyper badass and she's got a name like Pawu.
And she fights with a big pole.
Yes.
Yes.
And also so people get upset when they're like, oh, well, I saw this from a mile away. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with seeing how a story is going to develop. It's like the specifics that you want, but I really see her main story developing around challenging her worldview and understanding of how things work. Because her steadfastness was like such a big deal with her fight with Bisco. Like, she refused to listen to him or, like, change her thoughts or anything, even in the face of someone who legitimately knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, she was just like, it's my way. Like, this is my job. I don't care what you have to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's commendable, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to see her, like, worldview get challenged, though, and see how she grows or rejects that going forward.
So that's basically everything about our characters. Before we get into the spoilers and a little bit about the, and about like the mushrooms and like who's good guys, bad guys, good girls, bad girls, etc., etc. There are a bunch of crazy fucking animals in this show. That it's just absurd at times. People riding hippos, people riding crabs, fucking like flying whales and shit. And for me, like where I'm at the show, like it just goes, it's unexplained. So like you have this disease that goes across Japan. And it's like, yeah, it's post-apocalyptic, blah, blah, blah. But, like, where the fuck did these fish come from? And animals.
Right?
I mean, I'm 10 episodes deep, and there's just no explanation. So, but yeah, I mean, like, for the viewers, like, it's definitely a fucking twist on things. Because some shit is just unexpected.
Oh, yeah, like, even in the OP, like, you know, when they're riding the crab and that wishy-washy dude shows up, And then you've also, like you said, the flying whales and the hippos. I, knowing as much as I do about evolution and just, you know, net biology and physiology and how these animal systems work, I'm just like, all right, I gotta suspend all disbelief to watch this or I'm gonna lose my mind.
Yeah, like, it's kind of just like the added bonus. Like, all right, we're gonna have hippos as tanks, like, all right, let's fucking do it.
Right? And, like, I just had, like, okay, there's a giant crab. This is impossible. Crabs can't get that big, not only because of, you know, mechanical reasons, but they literally don't have the lungs that can function like that because they have a passive breathing apparatus. I'm not going to go too deep into it. We'll be here for hours.
Well, I mean, if people want to If people want to learn about why certain animals are made the way they're made, just go watch Heaven's Design Team.
Yes, exactly. There we go. Okay, Heaven's Design Team's got it covered. But, like, it was driving me bananas. Never mind all the ecology aspect. If you want, I can totally get into the nuke that detonated in the first episode. I could, like, super go into that because I love nuclear history, but... if that's too much, we can hold off.
Is it gonna go into the is it gonna lead into the mushroom talk?
It could.
Okay, let's talk about the nukes, but I just want to say first and foremost, if you have not watched the show and you don't know anything about the characters or anything like that, we are gonna get into a tip of spoilers of who are good guys, who are bad guys, who are the who are villains, who are antagonists, protagonists, etc., etc. But we really want to focus solely on why mushrooms are a big, how accurate are mushrooms depicted in this anime. So, Pinky, take it away. In regards to the nuke, and then we'll follow into the mushrooms.
Yes. Okay, so we're going to go back to Russia during the USSR, all that good stuff. I don't have the year, I'm sorry. But anyway... in Russia, they detonated a bomb called the Tsar Bomba. It was 50 megatons, 50 to 58, depending on, estimates at the time. They were originally going to make it bigger. There was going to be a 100 megaton version, and I think that's where they got the inspiration for the opening scene in the initial, that initial blast. Because just with the 50 megatons, where did I put that? I had a blast radius map, and now I can't find it. Oh, there it is. If it hit, say, the center of Tokyo, the thermal radiation of third degree burns would go all the way out to Yokosuka, to Yachimata in the east, past, where is that one? Oh, geez, way past just about everything else in the west, and then north up to Koga. So if you want to take a look at a map and see that radius, I highly recommend it. It's insane. So I could imagine that the one in the opening was probably the initial 100 megaton sister to Tsar. Yeah, the 100 megaton Tsar Bomba sister that they never detonated. So.
So you're saying it kind of takes place right after... World War II nukes,
Roughly, yeah. I think Tsar Bomba was in the 60s at some point there. So that technology has definitely existed, and you could definitely flatten a city like that. So I just want to get that out of the way, because I don't want people to think, oh no, that's totally not possible. It totally is. Atomic weapons are the stuff of nightmares. Anyway, moving on. So once everything's obliterated, So anytime you've got a catastrophic event, be it a nuclear bomb, a volcanic eruption, something like that, something that just takes out everything, some of the first organisms besides bacteria that are going to start colonizing are going to be fungi. Because fungi can actually break down just about anything. They've got fungi that break down rocks. There's fungi that break down plastics, wood, you name it. And wood notoriously is really difficult to eat. So that's huge if you don't know much about biology. So the fact that they're using mushrooms to like heal the earth makes so much sense. Because they're one of those first expeditious like colonization species that, starts putting things back together after an apocalypse.
Yeah. So, the video that I watched as well talked about how mushrooms are like basically like what you said, they break down, they actually break down like animal carcasses, stuff like that, and they use to fertilize like trees and grow more like greenery on the planet. So would you say, like, I mean, not that, you know, Bisco going around shooting things to make mushrooms, you know, sprout is going to cure, like it's the, like, the thought process is there in regards to Sabuke Bisco, correct?
Yeah, the thought process is there. They're just ramping up the natural process by, like, a million. Because, you know, mushrooms absolutely do eat just about anything.
So I think, like, with what the show's trying to get across is, like, the reason why these mushrooms are so big and, like, why they're using different mushrooms is because there's these different animals in the world right now. And, of course, there's the rust going on as well. And I think that, during Bisco shooting his arrows, like, you see that, that he uses different types of mushrooms, which I found to be very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I wanted to note, though, the mushrooms themselves, you know, the thing that we think of as a mushroom.
Yeah.
That's just the fruiting body of the fungus. The actual fungus is a very thin, web-like structure called mycorrhizae. And that is the main body of the organism, essentially. So the mushroom is just the fruiting body. Think of, like, if all you ever saw from a tree or a plant or whatever was the flower. It's the exact same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So with these mushrooms growing so crazy fast, it's insane. Like, I want to be like, where, like, how are you synthesizing all this stuff so quickly to create this much mass? Where is the science?
That's kind of where Dr. Milo comes in with his science, because he, like, you know, they kind of use him to find the, they go search what they're looking for in the specific mushroom to cure the rust.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So you basically find out right away that, you know, Bisco, while he's a wanted man, he's kind of like the Vash the Stampede of, of this anime, so.
Yeah, and I would say Trouble definitely follows him around.
He's got, you know, him and Milo going on an adventure to find the specific mushroom that wants to cure the rust, but he has to deal with Kurokawa, who is the mayor in the nightlife town that he's in. You do find out a shitload about Kurokawa, what his, you know, what his plans are, what his ideals are, and why he has issues with the Mushroom Keepers, and why he has issues with Dr. Milo and Bisco as well. Mm-hmm. But in regards to the anime as a whole, I just think this is an anime that people are sleeping on. And again, I think it comes down to how, unfortunately, weak the winter 2022 season is. It's a double effect, because it's a weak season because there's not many rememberable shows in this season, except for like two or three, and your two or three memorable shows, that's the word I was looking for, are going to be Ranking of Kings, Attack on Titan, and My Dress Up Darling. And that's sort of not fair, because Marin is literally the fucking goat of the winter 2022 season in terms of female characters. There's literally no stopping her right now.
If she becomes girl of the year, I would not be surprised.
Yeah. So I love the show right now. I think it's fantastic. What are your thoughts on it?
So I'm enjoying it quite a bit. The world building is pulling me in. There's a lot I'm really liking. I like the way the characters are playing off each other. That is enough for me to put aside all the crazy biology stuff that's like driving me crazy. So I would say that that's pretty high praise as far as like character interactions and stuff. But I would agree. Like, nobody's talking about this show. I was definitely sleeping on it until just a couple days ago. So I can't talk. But yeah, I'm not seeing anyone talking about it on Twitter or anything.
Yeah, I know a lot of the guys in the in the other Discord, been from, what do you say, anime, you know, we're keeping up on it left and right. But in regards to like Twitter and everything like that, it's really is a shame that not many more people are talking about the show, because it is, I feel like it's the hidden gem of this season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's definitely fun.
So, I just want to get through the rest of the stuff. So the art and animation, I'm really digging the art and animation a lot. It's actually done by Studio Oz, which is literally a brand new studio. They've only done one show, and it's this. But there's a lot of producers. So there's been a lot of producers from Frontierworks, YTV, Flying Dog, there's a boatload of producers. But in regards to the studio and them doing the animation, is from Studio Oz. And I think for a show as unique as this, you need either a unique studio or literally something new. So what are your thoughts on the art and animation?
So far I really liked it. There were a couple spots where the backgrounds looked a little weird, like one where Milo is looking up from that grassy field at the crab. That looked a little phoned in, but for the most part there wasn't too much that was like really, the background generally faded into the background, which is exactly what you want. So for the most part, I've got no issues there. The character designs are good. They're very unique. You don't mix anybody up. You don't have issues with anybody's silhouettes. Like, you know who's who, which is helpful, especially with shows where, you know, you've got same face. Ugh, not even going to get into that. You know what I'm talking about. But
I don't know.
But, like, no, everything seems to move the way you think it would move. It's very competent, especially considering this is their first show. Do we know if we split off from another studio or something like that?
Not that I know of. I can try to give a quick look. I'm searching Studio Oz right now. They've only done like episode, like some, like they had some like plays, it's just like a lot of Finnish animation in specific episodes. Nothing major. Finnish animation, Eromanga Sensei, painting, stuff like that, but not, you know, not fully producing their, not fully producing an anime, except for this one.
Interesting. So I guess it looks like they got a lot of experience, you know, doing bits and pieces elsewhere, and they're like, all right, well, now we've got all this under our belt, let's put all these parts together and make it happen.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like to me. Judging from my anime list, or not my anime list, I'm sorry, Anime News Network. I don't like to go to Reddit. So they are a new studio. Also, it seems a lot of people from some UFO Table projects are working on it, so it might be worth to keep an eye on it. So if people from UFO Table are in Studio Oz, that's a big thing for Studio Oz.
Oh yeah,
the Studio UFO Table. I'm pretty sure does all the fate stuff, and that's, you know, like the cream of the crop.
Yeah, that's their cash cow, I think.
Opening and ending, I love them. I think they're unique. I think they're awesome. Mm-hmm. The opening is definitely metal. Ending is pretty good too. I think the ending is sung by both Bisco's VA and Milo's VA, so that's always cool. I always like this. I always like that. What are your thoughts?
I like the OP and ending. The main thing that caught me with the ending was just the trippy visuals.
Yeah.
I really love those. Speaking of trippiness, one of the main... I gotta go back to mushrooms real quick because this is actually super important. As far as medicinal stuff, they're actually doing studies on psilocybin to treat PTSD and depression, and I think that's so amazing. But trying to get it scheduled properly has been a huge pain in the butt. But, yeah, so the fact that they're bringing that into the ending with the trippy, lava lamp looking mushroom visuals was just like, I loved it.
I'm going to have to check it out myself the next time I watch the ending, which the new episode drops tomorrow. Every Monday, new episodes drop. So I think that's all I had to talk about in regards to Sabuke Bisco. I love the show. It's one of my top five of the season, I would say. I might have to do another search into it, and I might change some things around. But I love the show. I love the characters in it. I love the story. I love the idea of using mushrooms to break down the rust that's going on in this world and to break down other bullshit that's going on in this world as well. I don't really want to give it a rating right now. My anime list has it at a 7.44. I think overall that's a fair score for it right now. I might rate it a little bit higher, but it all depends for me for how it ends. Which we'll find out how it ends within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, should be good. I just want to say that I feel bad for having slept on this show for so long. I would definitely tell people to look it up because you're not going to regret it. It's really fun.
I wholeheartedly agree. And with that, I have nothing else on Sabuke Bisco. Pinky, is there anything you need to say to the people? Anything you want to shout out? Anything at all that you want to promote while you're here?
Nothing to promote, nothing to really shout out this time. Things are pretty chill, but as always, I had so much fun, and thanks for having me on again.
Always an honor and a pleasure to have the great Pinky come on to the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast. I appreciate it, Pinky, and bringing your extensive knowledge on mushrooms, both as a pizza topping, as a carcass breakdown, you know, fungi, and as a medicinal edible as well, I guess we could say, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of this episode of the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast. Again, I want to thank Pinky for coming on such short notice, watching a couple episodes of Sabuke Bisco, and talking about how important mushrooms are to the world and how relative they are to the anime of Sabuke Bisco. If you haven't yet, make sure to follow me or the Waifus and Weeaboos on Facebook, Waifus and Weeaboos on Twitter. Make sure to follow my Tumblr for updated screenshots over at NJ Otaku. Follow the Twitch, which is twitch.tv/StoreSensei1. All this shit will be in the in the description. If you want some of the best stickers, shirts, peekers for your car, your laptop, your computer, your walls, etc., etc., go over to sukawai.com, use the promo code SoreSensei1 and save 5% off your entire order. He's got stickers and peekers on sale right now for like $3 to $5 that are literally top tier stickers, peekers, everything. Go check out sukawai.com. You will not regret it. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen, for this episode of the Waifus and Weeaboos podcast. My name is Nick, as you all know by now, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.